Please pray with me. God of courage, be in our speaking. Be also in our listening. And speak to our soul's deep understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our wayfare through the word leads us this morning to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16. Let's hear the word of the Lord to us. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. Hi. My name's John. I'm a human being. I also happen to be your pastor. I'm a peacemaker, which has its strengths and some limitations. Like many of you, I was born at a young age. I'm a cradle Presbyterian. Do we have any of those in the house? Woohoo! Meaning I grew up in the Presbyterian church. But I also have an alter ego. My family of origin are simultaneously Pentecostals. That's right. Fire and ice, baby. The fire of the Pentecostals and the ice of the Presbyterians course through these veins of mine. A further confession is in order. I went to Oral Roberts University for college. I have heard that there is one other Presbyterian minister who has attended Oral Roberts University. I've got to meet that guy someday. I used to hide that part of me, even from you guys. No more. It's uniquely shaped who I am. I'm thankful for it. Back to my childhood. I'm one of those people who can't ever remember not believing in God. Okay? My mom would read to me Archbook children's Bible stories every single night. I ate them up. My favorites: Job, Daniel in the lion's den, and the shepherd who left the 99 for the one lost sheep. However, as I got older, I began sowing my wild oats, living a dissolute and unruly lifestyle midway through, I think it was, first grade. Truthfully, I pretty much stayed out of trouble. But I was a dabbler. I was not only a dribbler, I was a dabbler. okay? You know, one of those types that deep down you really want to sin bad, but you're too chicken to do it? I was too afraid. The sin of fear. Too afraid of getting caught or disappointing my parents. But church was a different matter. A dab wouldn't do for church. I was a church animal. Every Sunday morning back in the day, I put on my blue polyester suit and my clip-on tie. I was a beast. I still keep in touch with my third grade Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Stevens. A shout out to all Sunday school teachers. We were forever bonded when she gave out McDonald's toys, not Happy Meal toys, we're talking sort of the fancy stuff, when we memorized scripture passages. So I was a good kid, people pleaser, probably still am today. But I think over time, I got too comfortable with Christianity. But this is only natural, because it was all I knew. I became a church professional. I knew the drill. I could play the part. I was the kid that always raised his hand for every single stinking question at the children's time. Boom, every time. I sang with gusto all the classics. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord right on. Okay. Well, I eventually made it to high school. I loved tennis back then. That was my life. In high school, I was 4-year varsity at Oak Park High. So during my teen years, I learned to become adept at what's called compartmentalizing. There was my church life, and then there was my regular life. Whoa, this is fun. I can multitask. You know, have my cake and eat it too. The world's ways, Monday through Saturday, and Christ's ways on Sunday. The two rarely met. So I coasted in my faith. I still believed, going through the motions, on autopilot. I knew what to do. Until September 21st, 1988, of my junior year. I was reading my NIV Bible, Philippians 3, our scripture reading this morning. I was in my bedroom, and wham! The light bulb went on when I read Paul's words. I consider all things lost, says Paul, so that I might know the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing Christ, not about Christ, knowing Christ, suffering with Christ, not just knowing the answers, but living life with Christ, an intimate, sacrificial relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's when things got exciting. I felt like I owned my faith. It wasn't just a hand-me-down. I had vested interest. And it was that night that I sensed God's call upon my life to be a pastor. I had no idea what I was getting into. I'm still learning what I've gotten myself into. So I jumped in. I started participating even more in my home church, First Presbyterian Church of River Forest, Illinois. I was mentored by my youth pastor, Bill Williamson. We met every week together for prayer. I also was involved in the parachurch ministry called Young Life. I met weekly with Brian Telzerow. He mentored me in my life. These two guys were huge in my life. I'm still a huge fan of Young Life, and my two boys go there here in Tucson. I went to college And I studied biblical literature at Oral Roberts University. After that, I continued on in graduate studies at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. During that time, I interned at two churches, two Presbyterian churches, Pasadena Presbyterian Church, right across the street from Fuller, and a Presbyterian Church in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia. After being ordained in the Chicago Presbytery, I served my first call as an associate pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Kennewick, Washington. In 1998, a year after I was at Kennewick, my sister Ann, my oldest sister, she introduced me to a friend of hers. Her friend's name was Sarah. Sarah was a volunteer nanny for missionary families in Indonesia for my sister for 9 months. My sister's been a missionary for 30 plus years. The next year, in 1999, to the surprise of my church and my family, Sarah and I got married. Sarah was no longer a nanny. She became my niece and nephew's aunt. Sarah and I just had our 20th anniversary on Tuesday. We celebrated it. Yeah. We celebrated it by me going to session. Sarah, we are going to get that dinner and a movie, okay? Sarah and I eventually sold everything that we owned in 2002. We raised funds to do mission work in Egypt. It ended up being 3 years. Abby was 6 months old by the time that we left for Alexandria. Luke would eventually be born in Egypt. I ended up going through some depression in Egypt. And it wasn't the best fit with my giftings. But I wouldn't exchange that experience for anything. So the call to pastoring, it drew me back to the Presbyterian Church in the United States. I couldn't get away from it. Our family was eventually called to the metropolitan Atlanta area, where I was an associate pastor at First Presbyterian Church, and Jude was born there in Georgia. I unsuccessfully sought to work for racial healing in my church and my community. It didn't go over well. We felt we had the green light from God to discern if he might be calling me to be a pastor and a head of staff. We were called to Emmanuel in 2008 by God, by all of you. Phoebe was born here in 2010. She's about to be a fourth grader. And in 2013, after nearly 10 years of study and almost being kicked out of the program, I finally got my doctorate in ministry at George Fox University, a Quaker school, studying under Leonard Sweet, who you hear me quote all the time, a Methodist minister, professor, and prolific author. Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Quaker, Methodist. I am a ragtag spiritual hodgepodge, Emmanuel, and I would have no other way. Earlier this year, we celebrated 11 years of life together. You and me, Emmanuel, 11 years. Last year was also the 20th anniversary of my ordination as a Presbyterian minister. It's kind of like sort of a ministry halftime for me in the locker room right now in my life. And I've been doing a lot of reflecting. Looking back on 2 decades of ordained ministry, pastoring has been rewarding. Certainly not always easy. On some occasions, gut-wrenching. There have been plenty of highs and lows, ups and downs, zigs and zags, these last 31 years since I sensed God's call to be a minister. And let me tell you this, Emmanuel. Besides Jesus, my family, friends, the church, and the people who I've met through the years, the things that really matter, everything else is inconsequential. Our credentials and qualifications and kudos, our accomplishments and accolades, our achievements and pedigrees and trophies, they all mean nothing in the larger scheme of things. Now, earlier in chapter 3 of Philippians, we couldn't read the whole thing, Paul shared his story. And he shared his religious credentials, kind of like what I've been doing now. He had plenty of them. And he knew that his own righteousness by the law, his works righteousness, was nothing compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. It was that gift of faith that Paul was talking about. Nothing you can earn. And at the end of the day, for Paul, the prestige and the titles were all skubala. The Greek word that Paul uses in our passage is one of my favorite Greek words, skubala, translated into English as garbage, but let me tell you, that is the sanitized translation. I joke not. Literally, skubala is translated into English as crap. In fact, I could use an even more accurate English translation, but I've decided not to say it in the pulpit because I want to keep my job, even though Paul did it. Paul knew the infinite, priceless value was this, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, the pearl of great price that he would sell everything for. Exchange your poop for a pearl. Not a bad deal. I'm going to be vulnerable with you, Emmanuel. Do I have permission? Sure. About 3 years ago, I almost not only left Emmanuel, you guys, but I almost left the pastorate altogether. I got as close as you can get to leaving without leaving. Sometimes when I walk around this beautiful campus or I'm looking at all of your wonderful faces, I am amazed that I am still here. I was fried. I was burned out. I was hurting. I was disillusioned. It can happen to anyone in ministry, and it does happen. But I had a plan. I had a way out from you guys. I was accepted into a doctoral program in clinical psychology. The plan was I would become a clinical psychologist and eventually open up my own private practice where I would do psychotherapy. Sarah got a job, she has it now, where she could be our sole breadwinner while I studied. I was done. Done with being a pastor. I hated ministry. I don't say that lightly. I hated it. I wanted out. But then God tapped me on the shoulder and pointed me back in time to a 16-year-old high school student who was crying and reading in his bedroom from Philippians chapter 3 on 941 Keystone Avenue in River Forest, Illinois in 1988. God wasn't letting go of me, even though I desperately wanted to be let go. Desperately. I think of poet and minister George Herbert. His famous poem, The Collar, it's about his struggle with being a pastor. He was a poet, but also a pastor. But as I raved and grew more fierce and wild at every word, methought I heard one calling, child. And I replied, my Lord. So, I let go of my plans to be a psychologist. I returned to my calling to be a pastor, kicking and screaming. counted it as skubala. My healing was slow, Emmanuel. It didn't come overnight. It was long. I went to counseling, had some help with my midlife crisis. I had my Presbytery pastors group that I met with once a month. They're a huge support to me in my life to this day. I have my best buddy in the world from Oral Roberts University, Mike Lau. He's a chiropractor in Tulsa. If you're ever through there and you need a chiropractor, see him. He and I talk every day to this day. Mentors, they gave me counsel and gave me coaching in my life. I had the support of my family. I was fortunate to be able to go on a sabbatical. Thank you, Emmanuel, you saved me. I journaled lots. You can see my stack of journals in my house. Exercise hours upon hours on the treadmill. Read my Bible a lot and prayed. But I was so hurting inside, I couldn't speak my prayers. I prayed the Psalms, I could speak those. But I just sat in silence in God's presence and I had lots and lots and lots of crying. But most importantly, Emmanuel, I wasn't alone. Even when I was alone, I wasn't alone. Jesus was there. So the thaw was slow. At first, I was just numb, okay? I didn't feel anything. Then I was apathetic. I didn't care about anything. My humor and normal silliness dried up, gone. I couldn't even dance at weddings. I've done that my whole life. I didn't have it in me to get out on the dance floor. But then, joy. Slowly but surely, joy returned. By the grace of God, by the miracle of God, I don't say that lightly, I survived the suffering of crucifixion and was able to experience resurrection again in my life. Philippians is called the book of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, says the Apostle Paul in Philippians. Again, I say rejoice. Did you know he wrote that from prison? Paul reminds us, we can lose stuff. We can lose relationships, but we can never lose Christ. That's why we can be joyful, even in the hardest of times. Joy, Paul says, is a safeguard. It keeps us on track and from going over the edge. And so, I love ministry again. I can say that honestly. It's stinking hard, Emmanuel, but I love it. I have a deep sense of call here. It is a miracle for me to say that honestly to you. And most importantly, I want to say this, Emmanuel, unabashedly, I love Jesus. Let it be shouted from the rooftops. You have a pastor who loves Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect, but I love him with everything inside of me. This is what it's about, Emmanuel. Whether you're male or female, whether you're white, black, or brown, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you're filthy rich or dirt poor, or you're gay or you're straight, it is all for Christ's sake. Christ is for the good times, and Christ is especially for the hard times. Christ is our constant companion, and we are forever joined at the hip of Christ and at the heart of Christ. Just believe. If you want to find out a little bit more what it means to really know Christ, I would love to listen and talk with you because that is why I am here. Amen.